Stop the tank with Sweeney Oil and win a €300 Sweeney Oil voucher and a Magnus monitor only on Galway Bay FM.
Now, a very good morning to you. It's that time again when we give you a second number. Again, I gave you a number of litres in the last hour. I'm going to give you litres in this hour as well. And if you add the two together, what you do is you text us and straight away to 086 38 33 55 3 and you could win yourself a €25 oil voucher to be used in Sweeney Oil or Sweeney Oil service stations. You can do so. It's really up to yourself, but each and every daily winner then goes into a prize at the end of the week, and they could be winning themselves the use of a Magnus monitor, which is absolutely wonderful, which will free for 1 year, that is. And €300 Sweeney Oil voucher. So quite simply, all you have to do is add the two numbers together, the one I gave you in the last hour. And what will I give you in this hour? I'm going to give you 61 in this hour. So add the two together, the previous hour and this hour, add them together and get texting now to 086 38 33 55 3 and be in with the chance to win in association with the team in Sweeney Oil. Now again, if you want to get further details on the Magnus monitor, contact Sweeney Oil on 1800 555 999. And you can see all about our good sweeneyoil.ie as well, by the way, because it's a smart monitor that sits in your tank, easy and quick to install, alerts you to your phone or email when you're running low, and keeps track of your oil levels on the Magnus app as well. Also, it keeps you well informed if there's a sudden drop from a leak or theft from your tank as well, so you can be on top of it. You must live in the area that they deliver to, which is Galway City, Connemara, Mayo, Kinvara and North Clare, Roscommon and Leitrim. So, if you add the two together, get them in fairly quickly, please. I've given you 61 in this hour. Get them into us straight away and do so, and you could be winning that very, very soon, because we'll be closing the lines in about 3 minutes' time. Stay tuned for that and more to come.
Stop the tank with Sweeney Oil and win a €300 Sweeney Oil voucher and a Magnus monitor only on Galway Bay FM.
Now, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. The comment lines are open if you want to get through to us today. You can do so on those numbers and get in those comments to us as well from there. Now, let me go to Anne McKeown, who joins me on the line today. And she joins me on the line. And we have some questions in. If you want to get more questions in, send them in to us as well. Just before I go to Anne, by the way, I'm told that the crash at the Fleming roundabout has been cleared. So it's just coming into me there that it has been cleared at the Fleming roundabout. And yeah, brilliant. Now, Anne, morning to you. How are you today?
I'm all right, Keith. How are you?
You're washed out, so you are, because the weather is shocking bad out there.
Absolutely dreadful out there, isn't it?
As bad as I've seen now, the flooding this morning coming into work on the N59 and elsewhere was quite significant. But look, we have no control over it.
No, we have not, and like, it is only the start of winter, so I'm not in any doubts that we'll have more of it coming up again later in the year, you know. But anyway, that's that, yeah. Now, Keith, can I just make an announcement before you rattle off the questions?
Yeah.
Just to say, there's a gardening talk. It's called A Winter Garden. It's in Gillan's Hotel in Banlasloe on Wednesday, the 11th of October. It's been given by Rory Newell from Forest Moon Plants in Loughrea. So that's a gardening talk on A Winter Garden in Gillan's Hotel, Banlasloe, Wednesday the 11th, 8 p.m. Now,
great. And if you want to get further details, job done from there. Anne, how can I protect my geraniums from frost in the winter?
Very difficult. Now, you bring them indoors. You don't leave them outdoors, that's for sure. You can bring them indoors if you had a kind of a frost-free room, not a room that's heated now, but maybe a shed that doesn't get frost, that's well insulated, or maybe you have a heater in a greenhouse. That would do the trick too, but I wouldn't advocate too much heat. Definitely not into the hottest room in the house. That's not the way to go either. But if you can keep them in a frost-free room, just moist, not wet, over the winter time, you should be able to preserve them for next year.
And is it okay to trim trees at this time of year, as I'm going away on holidays and will be gone for a few months?
You can trim your trees now. If you could afford to wait another couple of weeks until all the leaves had come off them, it would be a better job. But if you have to go and you're not going to be around, well, yes, you can do it now. Make sure, as I've said before, you get a professional to do it. If they're big trees, don't go just getting anybody with a saw hacking at them, you know.
Somebody else wants to know, where could I get a water feature for my garden that I could plan for next year?
Well, most of the garden centres are quite a lot, not all, quite a lot of the garden centres do water features. And I would advise that you go into your local centre and talk to them, because what they don't have, they may have a brochure, they may not carry them in stock, but they may be agents for them and they'll be able to tell you what's available. Failing that, if you are in Dublin, there's a few water garden centres you could have a look at. But definitely if you go to your local garden centre here and talk to them about it, they may have a brochure that will show you what's what, and it'll give you an idea what's available and what they can actually supply you with.
I think most gardens in the country have a water feature. This morning it's called flooding.
Yeah.
there. Somebody else is just wondering about planting trees. Is it the correct time of year to plant trees?
Oh, yes, absolutely the correct time. Again, even leave it another month if you're going for bare-rooted trees. In other words, trees that have no pots or containers on them. If you do it any time from November to March, perfect timing for your trees. You're right on schedule.
Can I put my daffodils and tulips down right now?
You can put them down right now. If you are in no rush and you have time to spare, I would hold off on the tulips and put the tulips in more the end of November or early December, and put the daffodils in now. But if they have to all be done now, it's not wrong. But you get a better result from the tulips if you plant them later.
Okay, from there. And window boxes for winter. What did you advise last week? Did we talk about window boxes for winter?
Well, I think we did at some stage. I'm not sure if we spoke about it on air or did I speak to people individually about it. But for the window boxes, you're talking about winter flowering heathers, Erica carnea, they're called. Winter flowering heathers. You can put in some polyanthus, which are the primroses. You can put in some cyclamen, C-Y-C-L-A-M-E-N. You can put in some winter pansies, maybe a little bit of ivy, and maybe a few small dwarf bulbs like the little tete-a-tete dwarf daffodils or something like that in that line. So there's a wide array of stuff available, so don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to look around your garden centre and see what's there. If they have pots planted up, you may not want to buy a planted pot, one that's done already, but it'll give you ideas. If you see them done, you'll be able to kind of copy it. Isn't that what they say? That's the best copying is the best form of flattery, isn't it? When you can see something you like and maybe try and reproduce it yourself.
Another caller down to us, they said that I have red-leaved ivy on sheds. How do I remove them? And I hadn't seen red before. Why could it be red?
Well, if it's a Virginian creeper or a Boston ivy, the leaves of it will go red in autumn. It may have been growing through too vigorously over the years and had stayed green. The temperatures may not have been cold enough for it, and it may not have turned red in other years. It varies, but it sounds like the Boston ivy, the Virginian creeper. You can pull it off manually off the wall and treat the stumps of it. That's probably the best way to do it. Be very careful, because I'm sure it's going to take some plaster work with it, because it roots into the wall.
So just be careful the way you take it off from there. Can you spray it?
Absolutely.
Can you spray it beforehand to make it easier, or does it make it easier?
Well, at this time of year, spraying doesn't really work, you know, but the temperatures are too low, so it's a manual job, really, and you want to be quite careful with it.
And I've old turf dust for years in the shed, and I've bagged it. Can I use that as compost?
You can. There's nothing in it, like, there's no feeding whatsoever. It's there's nothing to it, like, it's just that it does make a mulch, it does make a compost. You can use it, but you'd still want to add a little bit of bag compost with it, so that you're adding a little bit of fertilizer to it, because there's no feeding whatsoever in it, but it can be used, yes.
Okay, but if you mix in the fertiliser, is that what you're saying, that they could use?
Yeah, mix in the fertiliser or mix in a bag of bought compost with it, and that'll do the trick.
All right, Anne, listen, thanks for joining us.
Will
you shout out? I want to know, where's that garden event again that you said at the top of the first?
Oh, yeah. The garden talk is in Galland's Hotel. It's called A Winter Garden. It's by Rory Newell. It's of Forest Moon Plants in Loch Ray. It's in Galland's on Wednesday, the 11th of October at 8 p.m. And all are welcome.
All right, Anne. Thanks indeed for joining us today. Anne McKeown joining us on the line there. And again, you can write Anne McKeown, Galway BFM, Sandy Road in Galway, and get further details from there. So Fleming's roundabout is cleared. I don't know about the motorway yet. Let me check it here. I don't know. Is it? No, it's still locked up. So it is there today. Yeah, it's closed. Yeah, there's no sign of it. It's been closed now for 1 hour and 70 minutes. So obviously the emergency service are at the scene. So yeah, we'll just have to leave that one and come back to it from there. Now though, if you want to get in contact with us, don't forget you can, the landline is there as well, by the way, on 01177-0077. Let me go though to Kathleen Croffy, who joins me on the line. And Kathleen should be joining me from the Ballinasloe Fair and Festival Committee. And they've organised a wonderful evening of food, fashion and fun in the Shearwater Hotel. And Derry Clark will join us shortly as well. Kathleen joins me on the line. Kathleen, morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us today. This is a nice evening of food. So it is, yes, to be had. And you're bringing down the wonderful Derry Clark.
That's right. Correct. Yes, yes. We have a very exciting evening lined up. A food, fashion and fun extravaganza in the Shearwater Hotel in Ballinasloe this evening. Doors will open at 7 o'clock and show will start at 8. So we have, as you mentioned already, celebrity chef Derry Clark. And we're delighted to have Derry on board this year. He has devised a wonderful menu using some local produce. And he has created and incorporated local produce into his menu for this evening's demonstration. So we're delighted with that.
And is it sold out or are there tickets available?
There are still some tickets available. You can purchase them on the door on the way in. The Shearwater can facilitate quite a crowd, you know, so we're delighted with the venue. And as I said, it was a huge success last year. So we hope to repeat that this year. So along with the food end of things, we have some stands displaying their wares in the foyer, different gift ideas, different artisan food products, and that type of thing. And then we have a little bit of fashion after the cookery demonstration. And Kathleen's Fashions in Dunlow Street are going to showcase their autumn-winter selection. And also, they will be enhanced with a beautiful milliner that we have here, Anna Victoria Mulcahy. She's a leading local milliner and she will showcase some of her amazing headpieces and hat creations as well. So it's great to have both of those on board to entertain the crowd. So, and then we have a little surprise to finish off the evening, the fun aspect of it. We have a very unique choice of entertainment. We're going to keep it a little bit of a secret, but he'll be serving up a surprise for everyone and I'm sure they'll enjoy it thoroughly. So that more or less is the outline of the evening.
So when you say he, you have a surprise there.
I'm just giving one or two little hints. It's a male and he will be serving up a unique piece of entertainment for us. So we're keeping that under wraps at the moment.
And will Derry be getting involved in that with him, or will Derry take a back role in that?
He possibly might, but we'll see how the night goes.
So it's what we call in the industry, Kathleen Croffy, as being a work in progress.
That's it, exactly, yes.
So get there good and early tonight and enjoy it from there. So it's on absolutely tonight, so it is. And Derry Clark is a very talented man, by the way. And I know he doesn't do too many demonstrations either.
Too many. He's a very accommodating, very nice gentleman altogether and has been more than cooperative with us. So we're delighted to have him on board this evening.
All right, listen, good luck with it. And I hope the weather improves for the festival as well, because it's truly maxed.
Yes, yeah. Well, we have a huge weekend lined up and we're meant to be hitting 23 degrees, I believe, on Saturday and Sunday if the weather forecast looks good. And we have a huge weekend of entertainment starting off on Friday night with a big fireworks display down at the marina and a huge family fun entertainment starting at 7 o'clock on the streets. And we have a tug of war on Friday night. And then on Saturday, we have horse competitions, mare and foal competitions on the Fair Green, and another full day of entertainment and a big country market, a traditional sheep fair. And we have a concert on Saturday evening. So a lot of stuff going on, you know.
Good stuff.
And of course, then we finish on Sunday with a food and craft fair and we have a dog show and a vintage show and display and lots of children's activities as well. So the weather sounds very promising. It's sort of the end of the festival season, so we hope that families will get out and enjoy our weekend.
Good stuff. Kathleen, thanks for joining us today, and enjoy the company of Chef Derry Clark indeed in Ballinasloe tonight. Now, the winner of the afternoon tea tickets is Cathy Cummins from Ballybrit. Congratulations to you, Cathy. You're heading along, so you are, to that wonderful event in the G Hotel on Sunday week there. And further details can be had too, by the way, if you want to get details, from the website that we gave you out, which is teattheg.ie. That's teattheg.ie for further details. And that's TEA, by the way. TEA at theg.ie for further details. And the Sweeney Oil qualifier for today, who wins herself a €25 voucher and is in the overall prize for tomorrow, Angela Fitzpatrick of Ballyban. Congratulations to you. So we have two lovely winners there. So afternoon tea is Cathy Cummins in Ballybrit, and not too far away in Ballyban, then Angela Fitzpatrick is the winner from there. Now then, let's take a short commercial break. When we're back with John Morley and Ours to Protect, that series continues next. Stay tuned.
Good morning, you're welcome to Ours Protect with me, John Morley. And coming up on the programme today, we're looking at the Climate Alarm Clock podcast, which has been nominated for a national award. And we have the two hosts of it here, Ciara Daly and Dara Wynn. They are both Galway natives. If you want to get a comment into the programme, you can do it on our text and WhatsApp line. That's 086 38 33 553. Phone reception on 091 77 0077. Email comments at goibayfm.ie or arsprotect@goibayfm.ie. If you want to get more details on this initiative by Commissioner Mullen and the IBI, go on to arsprotect.ie. We can do the carbon footprint calculator and also take a quick survey. All that plus lots more coming up on Ars Protect. Now, I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the programme by co-hosts of the Climate Alarm Clock podcast, Ciara Daly and Dara Wynn. Ciara, I'll start with you. Good morning to you, and congratulations of order, because you're nominated in the climate section of the Irish Podcast Awards.
Yes, so thanks a million, John, for having us. Yeah, very exciting news. It's a project, not really sure how we got involved in, so to see it being nominated for an award, it's a nice bit of a pat on the back and a bit of encouragement that we're kind of going, doing something worthwhile and that's helping people.
Now, you're both based in Galway. Talk to me about how it came about. You said you don't know. You better try and explain for me and our listeners how we came up with this idea and this podcast.
Yeah, so Dara is a friend of mine. We're both Galwegians, as you say. We would have gone to secondary school together in Presentation School in Headford. So over the years, say the last 15 years or so, I've been listening to Dara kind of talk about climate change, and I've been nodding along saying, yeah. And I've always been interested, but I found it a really, really, I suppose, like, a very difficult kind of, or intimidating topic to kind of get involved in the discussion with. Now, I had the privilege that Dara is very kind of well-educated on this. I'll let you give him give his own kind of bio on that. But I've had the privilege that I kind of have a relationship with him where I'm not embarrassed, you know, to ask stupid questions. He's well used to be asking him stupid questions. So we kind of have a dynamic that it was really helpful for me. Yeah. And so when he was kind of talking about doing the podcast, there was a few projects he'd already been working on that I always say I had kind of politely said no to, and I kind of felt like at this step I kind of had to say yes, but I was really interested in it, and I thought this would be a great opportunity, I suppose, for me to kind of delve a little further into the topic of climate change and understand a little bit more about it, and hopefully do it in real time so we can bring people along with us on that journey as well. So that's kind of how my journey into the Climate Alarm Clock started.
It's a nice idea, and it makes it very accessible for people who wouldn't be experts on climate change. It reminds me a bit almost like a climate version of the Tommy Tiernan show that was on RTE.
Well, we do try to, and that's something we really kind of discussed at the start. Like, there was initially, I suppose, Dara, you probably know better than I do. At the start, there was probably a group of maybe 10, 12, maybe even 15 people who all came from a climate background who were kind of involved in bringing the project to fruition. So a lot of them had kind of a lot of vernacular and a lot of understanding of what the climate crisis was. And so there was a very kind of, for the first season, there was a very kind of specific tone to the conversations that were happening in the podcast. So myself and another lady who was involved in the podcast, who wouldn't have had as much knowledge as everybody else, we kind of were very kind of vocal in the idea that we needed them to make the language a little bit more accessible. And remember, like I would always say to Dara, remember, just think you're talking to me. And it, like, because when he explains something to me, it's so clear. And so we kind of made a really, really conscious effort to try and keep the conversation focused on kind of the everyday language that people can understand, so that anyone can join in, whether you've heard of the climate crisis before or not. We kind of want to welcome everyone into that conversation, which is important, I think.
I'll bring Dara into the conversation now. You have a big CV by the sounds of it, Dara. You better talk us through your expertise on the subject.
Thanks, Fakira. She's a great hype man, always talking me up. Yeah, so I suppose I kind of came to the climate stuff about maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I was just aware of it and worried about it, and went back to study in DCU, did a master's there in climate change policy, media and society. And that was around the time of the pandemic. So after the pandemic, myself and another friend started a podcast called The COVID Alarm Clock. And basically what we were doing there was looking to see if could we use COVID or experience of COVID as a wake-up call to take action on climate change. And each episode we'd look at a different facet. So we looked at, say, the science, or looked at the politics. And then one episode we looked at the media, and sort of one of the realizations we had when we were doing that was, with COVID, you know, you couldn't get away from the news. Everyone knew all the rules, all the guidance, all the stuff about hand washing, about social distancing, about the numbers. We became educated on the science. And that's just not there for climate change. You know, it's not as present, even though it's going to affect us so, so much, and is already affecting us and is affecting people around the world. So I suppose the idea for the climate alarm clock came out of that. Can we just have a one-stop shop where people can tune in every week and learn a bit about a few different climate stories, and hopefully learn a bit more about actions they can take? And then, as Kira said, it's kind of taken a turn in the way we do it. So now it's basically just myself and Kira and another friend of ours, Anna Pringle, who's based in Dublin. And we get on every week and we just are like a few friends having a chat about the stories, about the climate stories of that week.
It's important though, Dara, because what you're touching on there is climate journalism. And I know from being in DCU myself, a man who's very vocal in that regard, and he's helped us out with Ours to Protect as well, as Dave Robbins. He is a wealth of knowledge on that subject.
He is, yeah. So Dave would have been one of my lecturers on that. And yeah, does amazing work on climate. And I suppose, yeah, looking at the way, so yes, great of you, Enchanted Dave. You know that there are certain ways that are more effective in communicating climate than others, yeah.
Yeah, the whole idea, I know he touches on it, that not to be catastrophizing climate change, that we can talk about and report on it as we do in a responsible way, rather than just highlighting it when there's a climate disaster or an oil spill or something like that we keep the conversation going on it.
That's exactly it. You know, one of the phrases you hear, and I've heard a few people say it, is that every story is a climate story, you know, and I think that's what's really important, is that, you know, say with the budget coming up in the next few weeks, I mean, that should be a big climate story, you know, where there should be, you know, a discussion of, well, where's the money here for climate action? Where's the money here that's going to make it easy for people to make the right decisions, the green decisions? Where's the money to, you know, to support people who are making changes? And that's just one example. You know, any story, all the health stories, you know, climate change is so linked to health, air pollution, that kind of thing. So that, yeah, there are lots and lots of ways of talking about it and making it real and personal in people's everyday lives.
And I'll leave it open to the two of you. Do you try and localise the climate talk in a Galway context, or do you like to look at the bigger national, international issues?
I think we do a mix. I mean, if I had my way, I would keep everything Irish focused, because I had this note. Well, at the beginning, I thought we really needed to focus in on what's happening in Ireland, because yeah. that's what was going to make people care. Now that I've kind of gotten more into the podcast, like now that I have more of awareness and an understanding, I understand the need to report on an international level. But we definitely have. I mean, last year, one of the stories that probably has impacted me the most, it's not directly climate crisis related, but the huge fire that was on the Carrow Line, that was something yeah. we reported on the podcast. So that was actually something that was really quite upsetting to talk about. You know, Dara and I are
close
at the end. You know, yeah. we're at the end of that road, and explaining it, it was really like, wow, that's like really something really, really devastating. And, you know, the huge loss and the huge damage that was done to the biodiversity on the Carrow Line because of that fire, you know, that is linked to the climate crisis. And it's that thing of those things are not reported in the news. Like, I remember I used to always say to Dara, I want to learn more about climate change, but I can't find it. I can't find the information. And like he's saying there, there's so many reports that are going out, and that link is being, that, you know, that link between the two is not being made. And I imagine if I found it frustrating, there are other people out there who have that similar kind of frustration too.
Finally, Dara, I think it's great work that yourself and Ciara are both doing. It's a nice, accessible way, and it opens up the climate talk to a wider audience, which I think is important. Have you been enjoying it, and are you looking forward to the awards as well in the coming weeks?
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. And I think that's, you know, one of the ways of communicating climate change and climate action is that, you know, we hop on a Zoom every week and record this podcast, and we have great crack doing it, you know. And that's the case for anyone out there. If you do get involved in climate action, you know, the people you meet and the things you get to do are just great crack. And that's such a good antidote to all the doom and gloom. So that's definitely something I get from the podcast. And yeah, as Ciara said at the start, you know, it's a great recognition to be nominated for the awards, and it should be a good evening out, yeah.
Definitely. And Ciara, finally, I leave the final word with you. If people want to listen into the Climate Alarm Clock, and if they want to follow your journey in the coming weeks, how's the best way of doing that?
Yeah, so we have moved now to a record every 2 weeks. So you'll find us released on Spotify, Apple, any of those kind of platforms. You'll find the podcast there. And there's a whole, you know, there's a whole library of the special episodes. We report on a weekly news podcast basis, but there's also loads of specials that are really, really interesting and really engaging for people. So that's kind of the best place to go and find us. You can also find us on across any of the social media platforms. Just search for the Climate Alarm Clock and you'll find us there. But the podcast platforms are definitely the best place to find us.
Brilliant. Well, no, best of luck in the upcoming Irish Podcast Awards as well. Ciara Daly and Dara Wynn, the co-hosts of the Climate Alarm Podcast. Thank you for the Climate Alarm Clock Podcast. Thank you both for joining us on Irish Protect.
Thanks, Joe.
And that is it from today's edition of Irish Protect. Join us next Thursday at 11:30, where I speak with Michael Curran of the University of Galway about the Third Level Institution's Carbon Pledge. Stay safe and have a very good weekend.
Irish to Protect, brought to you by Galway Bay FM, the IBI, and funded by Commission na Mban with the television licence fee. Check out irishtoprotect.ie for more info.
Very good morning to you. Welcome into today's program. The good news is the motorway is now open again. The emergency service have cleared that whole area, so the motorway is open as we speak this morning. So well done to all involved in that. I hope that everybody involved is safe and sound. Now, Galway Fire and Rescue, they're sleeping out in aid of Galway Simon community, because Galway Simon community is delighted to announce that the Galway Fire and Rescue crews are taking part in a sleep out for Simon next Friday, the 6th of October. And I'm joined on the line currently by Sive O'Riordan from Galway Simon. Sive, morning to you.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks for joining us today. You have the fire brigade people there, Galway Fire and Rescue, out and about. There's a good gang of them, so there is, all over the county doing it.
Yeah, it's brilliant. They're all after getting involved. They've done a great job raising funds and everything, and they'll all be out tomorrow night then sleeping out with us.
And I see, I'm just going to go to Kevin Griffin, who's a Loughrea firefighter. Kevin, good morning to you.
Good morning, how are you getting on?
Good, you had a busy morning, so thanks for joining us this morning.
Nicely timed.
You were busy with everything that was going on this morning, so thank you for the work that you do on an ongoing basis. Where are you going to sleep out? Are you going to sleep in the fire station in Loughrea or on the main street?
No, there's two groups in Loughrea that are doing the sleepout. Mogi Maher is running another group as well. So I think we're all just going to get bands together, and the plan is to sleep in the Staunton has a little alcove that we can sleep under, and Durbin's are leaving their awnings open for us.
Good on them.
If it, you know, it, some small comfort.
And pray tell, what happens if a call comes in then? Are you off or on duty on the night in question?
We are on duty, so we'll be ready to run down to the station, but thankfully, you know, the station is just the other side of the block, so...
Good on you.
It's
great, though, Sive, to see the likes of Kevin and Brendan Creedon and Tom Doyle and Kieran Oliver and Gordon Monaghan and Rob Rainsbury, Carl Cook, John Curley, Sean Heaney is in Clifton, Philip Jacobson, Owen Davey and many others. They're all just getting involved. This is great, really and truly.
It's really incredible. Like, it's such an amazing community, and to get kind of people involved like that now is just amazing.
And you're hoping that, I know that we had Karen on with us, and I know we're doing some stuff on social media with you, but you are hoping that this is going to be a massive success.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there'll be a really good sense of community now tomorrow night, and make a bit of, raise a bit of awareness, and hopefully some donations and everything, and it'll be really a good success like it was last year. We had loads out, sleeping out, and hopefully it'll be great again tomorrow night.
I think it will be. I think it'll be more than great tomorrow night. I think it's going to be wonderful. And Kevin, is there going to be, in the Loch Ray leg of it, certainly I'd say the lads in Galway will have a bit of a hoolie or a sing-song or otherwise, and they don't need too much to get them kicked off there. Will there be any entertainment, do you reckon, in the Loch Ray side of things?
I'd say we're all a shy bunch, but I'm sure we'll be able to put something together for ourselves. But I know we're going to spend a bit of time going around as well. We're going to go over to the bingo and around to the couple of pubs and shake buckets of people and have a bit of banter and tell everyone what's going on. Try and get the word out more, you know.
But you'd be used to, if you're on call, you'd be used to the whole night side of things. But it does take a while to get acclimatized to being awake all night.
I'd say I'm acclimatized because of the four children. But I'd say a lot more of your listeners can agree with that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you get by on what you can, you know.
And that's what it's about from there. So how many of your crew in Loch Ray will be out on the night in question, Kevin?
Well, there's 10 of us on the crew, and I have 7 available.
7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Good on, though. Still, it's a great commitment.
That's good going now, in fairness. And, you know, we're going to split it up as best we can so that we don't have a full group of lads that are absolutely shook in the morning.
Yeah.
So we're going to divide it up and get a few lads to cover the early half and a few lads to cover the back half so that not everyone is absolutely shook in the morning.
It's a good way of doing it because you do need to be you need to be up and
just
at it.
Just in case the call does come in, you know.
Yeah, well, please God, it won't. I mean, there was enough of them come in today, so there was between motorways and otherwise.
True enough.
Just enough of them today came in, so thank God you were able to respond as quickly as you did. Kevin, thanks for joining us, and enjoy it while you do it. Sive, if others wanted to, it's never too late to raise money for Galway Simon Community, but you're part of the University of Galway. But and again, I know the students are doing a lot in this regard as well.
Simon Society up and running in the University of Galway. So it'll be our first time on the university taking part in the sleepout. So there's going to be about 25 of us tomorrow night in the university sleeping out. And it's been really incredible having the support from the university and obviously, getting a bit more, you know, more people together, more donations together. It's been really important. Like, it's been really great. So we'll be doing that tomorrow night.
So where are you sleeping out tomorrow night in the college?
We're actually going to be sleeping out in the quad, in the quadrangle. So we'll have a nice setup there. And there's, as I said, there's about 25 students from the society inside in the university sleeping out. And we have the support of Paul O'Doherty as well, the deputy president of the University of Galway. But he's going to be sleeping out on Shop Street. With the Shop Street gang there.
He might take a walk up to the quad to see what damage is being done to the grass up there. You never know.
I'd say he'll have to, yeah.
Oh, he'll have to, as registrar, he'll have to go up and make sure that you're all behaving yourselves. Listen, mind just says we can't be with you tomorrow. We've a few other bits and pieces, including Radio Wars, on tomorrow evening. But do mind yourself and just enjoy the overall event. Thanks for joining us though today, Sive and Kevin, and enjoy it from
Thanks
there.
Thanks so much.
Not at all. And I'm looking forward to finding out how much you make. And we'll be on to Karen Golden on Monday morning just to figure out how much was made on that. That's it for today. I really don't know where the programme went to today. Don't be smart now. Anyway, tomorrow we're looking at munching and cheering, a community alert month there. We're looking at 83% of grandparents are assisting with children childcare of their grandchildren, according to a survey from My Name Tanks. Ireland ranks high in Europe in places most obsessed with cosmetic treatment. We have the City Tribune headlines. Galway Menopause Clinic is now open. We go into the deep dock. We have sports review and we are looking at Rough Beast as well on tomorrow. That's a story indeed and reality of Sinn Féin. I'm looking forward to that. John Morley produced. Thank you to Siobhan who took all of your comments. Have a good and a safe Thursday. We'll talk to you soon. See you soon. Bye-bye. Oh, Cuiva assessed it. Talk to you tomorrow after 9. Bye-bye.